from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It is Cofield and Company. It is Tuesday. Cofield is still missing in action, out to sea on a mountain. We have no clue where he's at. As of yesterday, we said an island, possibly Love Island. There's no telling.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, Willie Ramirez, Danny Smythe, Griffin running the show. This is a show I've been telling everyone for a week since Cofield told me the fill-in host. I've been looking forward to because I listen to Danny in the morning, and at least 95% of the times that he disagrees with the boys, I'm in agreement with Danny. He loves to talk WNBA. He loves to talk sports betting, and now we finally get to chop it up for 3 hours. Danny, what's up, dude?
What's going on, man? Haven't seen you in a while.
I'm stoked. I'm pumped. We got TikTok Live going. We are live filming on StreamYard. I got my dog KP's in my TikTok Live. Griffin's running the show, and it's National Chicken Wing Day.
It's a good day. Had chicken wings last night.
So that means that you have to make up for yesterday was National Hamburger Day. You have to have a burger tonight.
Nope. I got a rule this year. I can't do it.
Oh, okay.
So I love burgers. Mm. They're amazing. They are my go-to at any barbecue.
Okay.
However, this year I decided that Jake Berger, the first baseman for the Texas Rangers.
That's right. I've heard this.
Every time he hits a home run, I eat a different burger at a different restaurant. He is on the IL until I think August 10th, they're looking at him coming back.
Now, the last time I listened in and heard this thing that you're doing, you were behind. Have you caught up?
Yeah, I'm fully caught up.
You're fully caught up.
Okay. He's been out for a while.
Now, can you there's a Big Mac challenge going on social media. You have to eat a Big Mac in 1 minute. Can you do it?
I think I can.
I'm really tempted because I told you this off the air. I'm really tempted to text our fearless leader and get approval and DoorDash it by the third hour. And get 3 Big Macs in here.
Well, listen, if we only have a minute, we don't necessarily need approval because we can go eat it during commercial.
Oh, no.
No.
It's got to be done on the air while StreamYard's running. So we have it on film and Griffin can put it on social media. No, it's got to be on the air. It's got to be done on the air and then we just do it in 3 different segments. And then so 2 of us is laughing at the third.
Okay.
100%. The question of the day yesterday was build your perfect burger for all of our guests. We got a stacked lineup, really good lineup today, including Jesse Merrick. We got RJ Clifford. We got Miles Simmons coming aboard. We got Nick Hamilton. We're going to be talking a lot of stuff. But the question of the day is going to be favorite flavor of a wing, ranch or blue cheese, which is imperative, especially if you have, you better have the right answer. And how many can you put down at a normal sitting wherever you go? So we're going to bring that up. The three of us are going to reveal that in a couple of hours. So make sure you stick around. We're going to ask everybody about it. It's National Chicken Wing Day. Let's get to it. The three. Here we go. All right. The Aces, Danny, closing a 4-game trip. They're at streaking Los Angeles. You asked the question. You sent this over. Cameron Brink expected to play. She is going to play tonight for the Sparks. 13-month layoff. She had 2 5-block games against the Aces in her rookie season. What do you think?
I think she's definitely going to help the Sparks. Sparks they haven't been good. They are on fire right now, but up until this point, they haven't been good this year, and they're very much struggling down low. I think she's going to come in, get some boards for them. They're one of the worst rebounding teams in the league, one of the worst points in the paint teams in the league. So I think she's definitely going to help them improve in that specific area.
Been one of the best teams in the last, since the end of the first half. So they're on a 5-game heater. Coincidentally, they get Ray Burrell back. They've gotten better. Ray Burrell, of course, Liberty graduate, took the Patriots to the state championship game against Centennial when she was a senior here in Las Vegas, went to play at Tennessee. She comes back from injury. They get a little bit better. Kelsey Plum, Rikia Jackson, and, of course, De'Ara Cahambi, the leader of that team, the captain of that team, and Azaree Stevens. So, I mean, the thing that they have on that team is championship experience, and they have veteran leadership. Now with Cam Brink coming back and that paint presence that you spoke of, with Ray Burrell coming off the bench, a fiery player who can get hot at any given time. How about the Aces? Jewel Lloyd sits herself down. She went to Becky Hammon, I guess a month ago, Becky told us. Said, hey, let me take a step back. Let me come off the bench. And Becky wasn't ready for it. She wanted to see how the bench would react, what the reserves could, what, how she could shuffle it. She didn't like the idea of making Aaliyah Nye a starter. She likes bringing her off the bench because she adds some punch rather than throwing her in sort of a situation. So instead, what does she do? She brings Kirsten Bell off the bench. And oh my gosh, does it work? 39 points combined. Jewel scores 20. Kirsten scores 19. They stumble upon something?
Yeah, possibly. I'm just curious. So normally you, as a coach, you might be a little skeptical to make that move if you're deciding to make that move. The fact that Jewel Lloyd went to her and said, hey, this is probably what's best for the team. It's what's best for me. Maybe it'll kick me into gear. Who knows? It's something to test out. I'm curious why it took Becky so long to almost convince herself to do it.
I think she wanted to get past the All-Star break. I think she wanted to get everybody sort of situated, keep it in-house, not discuss it, obviously,
right,
and figure out who she wants. Because the thing is Dana Evans, is she has a little bit of experience behind her, right? She's been around the league. She's mm-hmm. played for a lot of different teams. Aaliyah Nye is comfortable in her role coming off the bench. Kirsten Bell is sort of your girl who knows the system better than anybody else on the bench, and that includes Megan Gustafson. The other option is Kia Stokes, but you've already benched her for Nalissa Smith.
Right.
So I think it was just more a matter of let's pull the trigger at the right time, not immediately when Jewel says so, but let me just hang with it here. Let's see what we can do. And it obviously worked. Now, granted, they do it in Dallas when Paige Beckers is out.
Yep.
Paige Beckers wasn't hurt. She just sat down before a game against the Liberty,
yeah,
which
back-to-back,
seemed to work out well because they smacked the Liberty around. The Liberty, by the way, back-to-back losses against sub-500 teams.
But we also do got to say a little bit of asterisk there as Stewart wasn't playing last night. But
she wasn't, but they're nevertheless, they're the defending champions.
Right.
And the Dallas Wings are with a first-year coach who a lot of people are calling for his head. So, Grant, I mean, you're right. You're without your the face of your franchise, but nevertheless, it's still the New York Liberty.
Yeah.
And what they, against a sub-500 team, which banged up, by the way, but within mm-hmm. its own right. But that's a whole other subject. So the Aces opened up a one-point favorite. They're two-point favorites. These are, I mean, a double whammy subject for Danny and I that we both love talking about. -2 and 174. What are we doing with this game tonight?
I don't know. I really don't know because I
do. I know what I'm doing.
I want to back the Aces, but knowing how hot the Sparks are and knowing that the Aces are, they have been very much an up-and-down team all season long, I want to see if this switch, putting Jewel Lloyd coming off the bench, if it actually works or if it worked because it was against the Wings. So I need to see two, maybe three games of it to really understand what the team is doing and if it's actually working or if it was just because it was against the Wings, who also didn't have their best player.
I am going to take the Los Angeles Sparks, not plus the points. Keep the points. Give me the money line. Why? Because since De'Erica Hamby has gone to L.A., she's played some of her best games against Vegas. And you mix in with Kelsey Plum. I think Kelsey Plum, you know what? We talked to Doug Feinberg yesterday, AP writer, national writer for the Associated Press in women's basketball, college and WNBA. And he even said it. They're completely dragging her through the mud. Granted, her one bad decision was making an inside joke to Sabrina Ionescu in front of the media at the All-Star game, who knew the inside joke, but the rest of the world didn't. And she's being drugged through the mud. And you know what? The last thing you want to do when her team is on a heater is piss Kelsey Plum off. Now you compound that with her former team coming to her house in her hometown. Give me the Sparks on the money line, and I'm going to take the over.
Now, back to Cofield and Company.
He still ain't got me yet. He still ain't got me yet. Like, I ain't know. He was little. I didn't respect the conference that he played in, but I already respected him as a player. And ever since we've been putting these pads on, he's been showing it more and more. And I don't even, he's so little that you just see him just pop out, and you're like, golly. But, I mean, I love competing against him.
That was from earlier today. Why is it escaping me? Who was that again?
That was new Raiders linebacker Devin White.
That's it, Devin White, talking about Ashton Jeanty. It escaped. I was so into the beat and everything, and because I was sitting right there. that's funny. Devin White was really good today, by the way. Spoke a lot about a lot of things, and he got really deep with some mental health issues, which was really cool. And we're going to be touching on NFL and mental health. But right now we're going to talk Raiders. We're bringing in Jesse Merrick, the founder of Silver and Black Sports Network, covering everything that you can think about when it comes to the Raiders. So you're going to want to make sure you get his newsletter, check out his podcast. Jesse, you're on with Willie. You're on with Danny. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Willie and Danny. Hope you guys are doing well. Appreciate you having me on, man. I'm excited to talk some Raiders football. It's obviously been an exciting camp so far.
All right, so listen. Before we do that, we have to get to some important business because on this show we talk food. It is National Chicken Wing Day. Question of the day for the guest. I need your favorite flavor. I need to know if you're dipping it in ranch or blue cheese. And I need to know how many you can put down or how many you've ever put down in a normal sitting. Not like over the course of a day or a football game in 5 hours. Just you're going out for wings. How many are you throwing down?
Yeah, well, okay, so first of all, the sauce, I'm usually like a classic buffalo or like a teriyaki chicken style, or I guess it would be like Hawaiian style where they got like a little bit of the pineapple flavor in there.
Okay.
Always been a fan of that. No ranch. I'm not a big ranch guy in general, so not dipping it in ranch. And man, how many have I put in? I'm not like the biggest guy in the world, but I can definitely eat. I don't know an exact number, but I would say at least like 20 to 25 is probably the most in one sitting. Maybe more. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and try it again because it's been a minute since I've actually sat down and tried it.
All right. Well, we might have to have a challenge on board, a media challenge before the start of the regular season. Everybody meets up at a specific spot and down some wings. The traditional wing spots in town I have steered away from. I go down to our company member Adam Hill has a very close friend from back in Buffalo. So without giving plugs, but I think everybody knows it out there, and it's probably one of the best places in town, right by UNLV. All right, let's get into some Raiders, dude. Do we have a battle at cornerback?
Yeah, no, we definitely do. You know, it was always interesting, like seeing they go into the draft. You know, they get Darian Porter out of Iowa State, you know, long, rangy, lanky type of guy. And you're like, okay, that definitely fits, you know, the profile that Pete Carroll's looking for. Then they go and they sign, you know, Eric Stokes as well. You're like, okay, there's a vet coming in. And then you're sitting there wondering, well, what does that mean for Ja'Cory Bennett, a young guy who actually played well, you know, battling through injuries last year. And then, you know, also DeCameron Richardson, we can't forget about him. And they've also brought in JT Woods. So, like, there's a lot of bodies. They're cycling through a lot of different guys. In the last couple of days, DeCameron Richardson has had a really good couple practices. Pete talked about it today. He stacked good days back-to-back together, and he ran mostly with the ones today. So if you're asking me, I think Eric Stokes has one of the cornerback spots already locked down. I think opposite him is the big question. And to me, it seems like it's a battle between Darian Porter, the rookie, and DeCameron Richardson. I think those are the two leaders in the clubhouse.
If you're looking at these guys, what specifically stands out to you? Do you think maybe the physicality or the speed and potential versatility of these guys?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and it's again, a cliche like Pete Carroll thing, the ranginess, the size, you know, they're both big body guys, 6'2", 6'3", you know, the two of them, and very long and lanky. And Pete loves, you know, guys like that. Obviously, we look back to the Legion of Boom, and like Pete has mentioned many times about how certain molds and certain guys kind of fit their mold of what they're looking for, and they both definitely do. And we haven't really had a chance to see the physicality just yet from them, but the ball skills are definitely there. DeCameron Richardson goes and picks off Geno Smith on the first day of pads in the end zone in a red zone drill, a really beautiful read to be able to jump in front of Trey Tucker to pick that one off by DeCam. And then in terms of Darian Porter, you know, that's a guy that was a former receiver. He's still young as a corner, but shows a lot of really solid skills. He's a freaky athlete, obviously has the length as well, and is learning the fine details of the cornerback position, and, you know, has been a bit of a project for Pete and them, but they're throwing him right in there with the ones. And for him thus far, I have seen a guy that very much so looks like a former receiver running it. He's got good play recognition, you know, has been gotten beat deep a couple times. But those are some of the learning curves that go along with him. And they're willing to overlook some of those things because of, you know, the height, the speed, everything in the ranginess that he brings to the table.
Speaking with Jesse Merrick, Silver and Black Sports Network. Make sure you check out silverandblacksportsnetwork.com. Follow him at Jesse SBSN. So Danny speaks about versatility. Dude, what makes Jeremy Chinn so special back there?
Whew, man, that guy is a chess piece on the back end for Patrick Graham and company. If you go back and look at his snap totals and where they were when he was with the Commanders last season, that's a guy that moved around all over the place as well. And, you know, he comes to Vegas, and now we've seen him back in that safety spot. We've seen him kind of up closer in the box. We've seen him in the nickel working in the slot. So, like, he has moved around all over the place. He's another big guy, and that's really the theme of everything, you know, for the guys on the back end on the defense. You know, again, the length, the size, the speed, and he's a guy that's a really good communicator. That's something you hear the coaches and his other teammates mention about him as well. And they have to be, because he mentioned, like, you never know where I'm going to be on any given, you know, set or play on defense. You know, it could be anywhere within the formation. So that's going to be a guy that I think Raiders fans are really going to enjoy watching as he moves around the formation and kind of diagnoses. A real sneaky pick to be one of the better players on this defense, because I'm sure his stats are going to be through the roof, just given the fact that he's going to have so many opportunities of where he's going to be lined up all over the field.
So obviously one of the biggest topics, not really question marks, but the topics has been Geno Smith following Pete Carroll here from Seattle, coming over and taking over the quarterback room, if you will, mentoring Aiden O'Connell. But, I mean, at the same token, how impressed have you been by the wide receivers he's working with?
Yeah, I'm really impressed, actually. You know, we all know about Jacoby Myers. I think we can only say so many times how he's one of the most underrated players in the league before you gotta start to realize, like, who he is. He's a guy that went for 1,000 yards. And I know 1,000 yards isn't what it always used to be, but that is still, you know, a marker to show that a receiver is one of those guys, you know. So you got Jacoby. You go in and bring in the rookie in terms of Dante Thornton out of Tennessee, another really tall, speed type of guy. You know, he's shown to be a bit of the deep threat. Then there's Trey Tucker, shifty, has the speed as well. He was a tough cover on day one of pads. I thought he really won the day among the receivers. But then also Jack Besh, the guy that they got out of the second round as well, out of TCU. You know, he was a guy that throughout the offseason and the early portion of training camp practices, I was kind of like, huh, like, haven't really seen a whole lot with him. You know, he's been running with the twos mostly. And then you throw the pads on, and all of a sudden you see him start to flourish. And Pete, again, talked about that today. You know, a real physical guy. He even said yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, yeah, when he stepped up to the podium, said, you know, in order to get the rock, you got to block, you know. So he gets it. He wants to play that physical style of the game, and he realizes that that will open up opportunities for him in the passing game. And Pete really liked what he said, and he said it's easy to – or what he showed, and Pete said that it's easy to see that that guy is a player, you know. So I think as the weeks go on, we're probably going to be talking a lot more about Jack Besh. We've been talking a ton about Dante Thornton, and rightfully so. He's made a lot of plays. He'll get his opportunities with his team. But I think Jack Besh is going to be another guy that's going to be able to show us what he can do in the coming weeks now that the pads are actually on.
The Raiders are probably the only team in the NFL who their top quote-unquote receiver won't actually be a wide receiver. It's going to be tight end with Brock Bowers. What have you seen the connection between him and Geno Smith so far?
Yeah, and the comfortability's there. Geno even said in his first availability that, you know, he feels bad when he doesn't throw the ball to Brock because he's just that good of a player. We saw it last year. All pro as a rookie, the insane numbers, fantasy players obviously love him. You know, he was the top tight end scoring wise. You know, this guy has proven that he is that like positionless type player that can line up as your normal inline tight end in the slot, out wide as a receiver. You know, we can even see him as a running back as well. And I say that because you go back and look back at Georgia, what he did there. Chip Kelly mentioned the fact that he loved what he saw out of the way that Kirby Smart and them used him at Georgia. And at times we saw him get carries. So maybe that's a wrinkle that we start to see more of with Brock too, you know, this season. Maybe that's the next level of things for him, you know. So he has moved around all over the formation. The comfortability is definitely there. There was a really awesome play the other day in practice where I forget who was in coverage, but it was really good coverage. And Geno just drops one of the bucket over the top to Brock, and he comes down with it. Tough, contested catch. And all of us media guys are just sitting there like, hey, look, there's not a whole lot you can do about that. Those are just two dudes linking up and making a great play. And I think that's something you're going to be saying a lot because Brock is one of those like out of this world type talents, or at least was in year one, and now is looking to build off of that in year two.
Speaking with Jesse Merrick, Silver and Black Sports Network, check him out, silverandblacksportsnetwork.com. So Jesse, you and I were talking the other day and you had said beyond the local angle, as far as local boy makes good, Jonah Laulu has been phenomenal in stepping in. And then when the Christian Wilkins news breaks, he just steps right in. I mean, what's impressed you most about him? We heard from him today. And I mean, you talk about a guy who's appreciative of an opportunity and sort of just feeling, sort of feeling the vibe, if you will. This is a dude who, in talk about a blessed situation. He felt it at Centennial at high school. You go to Hawaii where, you know, that background, that ohana, if you will. And now in Raidersville, he's feeling that family-like atmosphere, like the little brother to Max Crosby. What's impressed you most about him?
Yeah, I mean, like you said today when he stepped up to the mic, I mean, hearing the humility and realizing, like, the moment that he's in and where he's doing it in his hometown. I mean, if there's anybody to put on for Vegas – and plant that flag with the Raiders, being a local kid, like, this guy's the perfect guy. He just gets it. And it was really cool sitting there listening to him talk about that aspect of it today. But in terms of on the field, you know, we heard Max Crosby talk about him. He said he's a hell of a player. He just doesn't know it yet, you know, and that's one of those things where his development is going to be real interesting to watch because, look, that's a big hole without Christian Wilkins there. So you need somebody to fill into that spot because if not, teams are going to attack that three technique. And he's a guy that needs to work on his run defense, and Adam Butler talked about that as well, that that's something he's been working on, and he even kind of alluded to it as well, Jonah did. But, man, as a pass rusher, he's brought a lot of versatility. He can play all along the defensive line. We've seen him move around. He'll rush from the edge spot. He'll rush from that three technique spot. You know, and Pete even talked about that, like, his mind for the game, he's very technical and has come with the right approach every single day. So he's doing all the right things. It's just now a matter of, like, one, the consistency factor, and two, adding that run defense to the table so that he can be, you know, a really well-rounded player when he's called upon. But to me, seems like another young guy that's in position to take hold of an opportunity here and get some reps with the ones at least early on in the season and be that starter, and we'll see how he handles it. But he's doing everything right off of the field, on the field, and saying all the right things about being a local guy. So it's kind of hard not to root for someone like that.
Sounds like somebody I know named Jesse Merrick, doing all the right things, taking advantage of an opportunity. You're doing great things at Silver and Black Sports Network. What do you got coming up on the podcast? We've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, so we're talking about a lot of different things today on the podcast. Some of the things we just touched on. Also, Devin White, he's back. That's big. This is a guy that Pete said was on top of the world. And if he's back, that's going to be really big for the Raiders. So we'll be diving into that and a lot more on the podcast that'll be dropping later tonight and also our next newsletter tomorrow morning as well.
All right, make sure you check out Jesse. Looking forward to it. Doing great things with this new venture, silverandblacksportsnetwork.com. We'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks. We also heard from Adam Butler today, and wow, things took a turn. Talk about a deep note, something we hadn't heard yet with Christian Wilkins. We're going to hear next.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It is Cofield and Company on a Tuesday, easing into the week. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Willie Ramirez along with Danny Smythe, Griffin running thing, quarterbacking this thing for us. We are going to discuss some more Christian Wilkins because it just gets deeper and deeper. But before we do, it is the Summer of Fun returning here to LVSportsNetwork.com, bringing you back that Summer of Fun. So every morning, the boys, Danny and the boys, Tyler and Ed, they get you going with the word of the day. You text that word anytime between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., so let this serve as a reminder. 2 weeks left in the Summer of Fun. This week it's Alaska. So each week we will announce the winner of the trip, give you the option to take the trip or $3,000 in cash. Not bad. We want to get you hooked up with a fantastic summer vacation. So make sure you're tuning in every single morning on the press box. That will get you to win the trip. But we're going to give you the reminder here for the Las Vegas Sports Network Summer of Fun, brought to you by Lotus Broadcasting and Paul Padilla. Not about the injury. It's about the recovery. Today's word of the day, cruise. Cruise. All right, Danny, this Christian Wilkins story, it just continues to get deeper and deeper. First, he's released. Then we hear from Adam Schefter that it goes a little bit beyond that. There's a there's a human resources. There's a reportedly, allegedly, a report turned in, a grievance that he kissed a player on the forehead. Today, it got a little deeper. Because we heard this from Adam Butler.
Yeah, we pretty much just kind of moved on from the situation. You know, I really don't want to comment further on it. But I will say that, you know, whatever you're going through as a person, you know, athlete, non-athlete, whoever, whatever your struggle is, if you got something going on in life, just, you know, talk to somebody. Get some therapy. You know, whatever your deal is your deal. Somebody out there in this world full of billions of people is willing to listen. They're willing to listen, hear you out, and help you work through whatever you need to work through. But don't make any hasty decisions. Get help.
Very cryptic, but I don't want to use the word transparent, like he let us in on something, because it's still sort of cryptic as to what is he trying to say. Like, does Christian Wilkins, did he have mental health issues, and so he was maybe feeling that these were his boys, and he was, you know, there's a part of you that kind of opens up and you feel too comfortable. I'm not sure where he was going with it, and we couldn't follow up because he said, I'm not going to comment, but this is what I have to say.
Yeah, I didn't like that he said that, because we've never heard, at least as far as me, I've never heard or read anything about Christian Wilkins potentially having mental health issues. He's never said anything, especially to the media or anything like that. So for this to come out like that, it very much caught me off guard. And you also shouldn't allude to somebody having mental health issues by saying, seek help, somebody will talk to you, just talk to, open up to people, talk to them, because if you're going through something, don't be alone. Like, that's not his place to say that, especially if maybe Wilkins is going through something, but he hasn't let people know. It's not Adam Butler's place to say.
It's almost like we haven't heard it, so it doesn't mean he's not going through. They say that the people that are going through the deepest stuff, you never know. They're like, you see these suicide signs. One day they're at the top of the peak. They're happiest as they can be, and you had never seen it coming, you know. And then they hit rock bottom mentally, depression wise, suicide, you know, sort of signs. We don't know. We don't know what's going on. But the fact of the matter is, you're right. Unless he first comes out and says it, it's somewhat of a HIPAA violation, I would imagine.
Yeah.
If let's say that the team knew he was in counseling and he was talking to somebody, they can't come out and say it until he comes out and says,
right.
You know, and we actually heard that today. We actually heard that from Devin White. He talked about going through some hardships during his injury, but also losing his father, and that he was in counseling. And now he came out, he was forthright, and then he came out and talked about that. If there's a, now this doesn't, you know, I don't know, it's tough because you try to tie all these pieces together. Now he's filing a grievance. What could it, like, what's that grievance going to read? Why was, obviously it's that he was falsely released, like he should have never been released.
Yeah, and the guarantee money being taken away.
Right, he wants his money, but is there going to be something even further on that? That's the thing. And like you said, you know, with Adam Butler revealing something like this, if that's what he's insinuating, it's a new wrinkle. It's a different twist.
Mm-hmm. Well,
sorry.
I was just going to say, with this whole thing with Christian Wilkins, when it comes to mental health, this is the first time we're hearing somebody saying mental health could be a factor in what's been going on with him. But besides today and these comments by Adam Butler, well, all we've heard from Wilkins, or the only thing everybody has kind of like looked back on in his history, are kind of these little antics that he's had. You know, there's pictures of him trying to kiss Hunter Renfro before he joined over the Raiders when he was still in Miami. The situation we have today with him kissing a teammate on the forehead, him being caught kissing Max Crosby on the sideline of an Aces game.
Yeah.
And then of course, all the way back to his days at Clemson, where he was doing a little, you know, some sketchy stuff in between plays, like grabbing guys in the crotch and doing a lot of other, you know, little weird things like that. So kind of like Danny's point when he's talking about, you know, it's not his place necessarily, it's mental health. And it's never wrong to come out and say something. If you have a problem with mental health and you're struggling with that, it's good to come out and say something. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, is mental health been the sole source of all these instances, or is this kind of does it divert away from what the actual issue is with Wilkins?
But also, like, just because he did those things, now, I don't know him. None of us really know him on a personal level. He could be doing this joking around, whatever. It's been reported that he did it in a joking manner. however it happened. We don't actually know the truth. But doing these things, that doesn't mean you have mental health issues.
No.
And for Adam Butler to come out and basically say, yeah, he's doing all of this because he has mental health issues.
Right.
Mental health issues don't make you kiss somebody on the forehead.
No. No. The antics that we have seen or that we've heard do not equate to unless it ties into other things, like, you know, like I said, like there's a certain closeness or bondness that he feels to them that they may not feel right. to him, but he feels this is his only outlet. These are his only friends or family yeah. or whatever it may be. But nevertheless, it doesn't equate to that, but he could have mental health issues that make him feel closer to these men. And so he's just in a brotherly way feeling that way. We don't know until or if we ever hear from Wilkins or his agent. You're right. We don't know if he has mental health issues. We don't know if he's in counseling. We don't know if he's talking. It was just a weird twist to hear from Adam Butler to him say something like that.
Yeah.
So we got some more football guys coming up. We're going to talk about this throughout the show. Right now, we're going to take the seventh caller. Two tickets, David Lee Roth, Saturday night, September 6th at the Fountain Blue here in Las Vegas. Two tickets, David Lee Roth, Saturday night, September 6th. Caller number 7, Griffin's waiting on you.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It is Cofield and Company here on a Tuesday. Willie Ramirez along with Danny Smythe and Griffin, quarterback and things. He's the coach. He's got the headset on. He's calling the plays. He's doing it all. And as we do every Tuesday, we welcome in MMA Insider, the Autumn Windbags, RJ Clifford. RJ, what's going on?
Hey, boys. How are we doing? Is it like Risky Business when Cofield's gone? You guys sliding around in your socks?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit, but we told Danny to put his pants on, so he was in his underwear with a business shirt on, or a dress shirt.
It's very upsetting. I had to be half serious.
Yeah.
Party's over.
The most important question of the day is because it's National Chicken Wing Day. So we're asking all the guests, favorite flavor, are you dipping it in ranch or blue cheese, and how many can you put down when you go out to a wing joint?
So I'm old fashioned. Just give me a standard issue buffalo. Nice. I don't need this like Asian fusion. I don't need lemon pepper. Ooh. I don't need to go wild.
Okay.
Just give me a quality wing buffalo sauce. Definitely blue cheese. Ugh. And I don't know if you guys know this, but there's the wing technique. You have the drumette and
100%,
the wing.
100%.
Where
you
slice. So if you're holding the wing,
yes,
or like a vertically,
yes,
you grab the top of it, you slide your fingers down
yep.
it,
yep,
ripping all the meat off the bone.
Yep.
Then you dip one big bite. Bam.
I've been doing that since 1987.
What took you so long?
Well, that's when I really started eating them. But were you even born in 87,
like a
Daniel?
Super genius. Yeah.
No, I was not born.
All right, then you just zip it. But yeah, that's no. And you know what? Before you answer, how many can you put down? It's very customary. It irritates me when I go out for wings with people and there's meat on the bone. You just don't leave. There better be just bone. Grizzle and all's got to be. It's got to be gone.
There's two things my dad taught me about women, the two women to stay away from, the ones that don't like dogs and the ones that leave meat on any bone.
Yeah.
You never mess with those women because they're more trouble than they're worth.
Mm. So how many can you put down?
So without being too descriptive, it used to be like, you know, 20 or so, but I like them spicy. And so as I get older, I'm 42 now, it's not the going in that's the problem.
I got you. You just leave it there.
I'll leave it right there. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get into this. Griff, get us going on the MMA.
Absolutely. So, RJ, first things first, Dean Thomas came out recently and said it would be a disaster if Khamzat Chimaev were to win in the main event title fight for the middleweight title against Dricus du Plessis at UFC 319 in Chicago. What is Dean Thomas talking about here? I mean, Khamzat Chimaev has been a hot prospect for back before the COVID days, and his star seems to keep rising and rising. So why is Dean Thomas saying it would be a disaster if he were to become the new UFC middleweight champion?
So Dean Thomas is a genius and a purist, and he likes to make sure the wheels are turning smoothly. He's not a gambler like the rest of us. He's like, nope, just give me a stable champion that's going to show up. Khamzat Chimaev has missed weight multiple times. He's pulled out of multiple fights. There were rumors that he had like visa issues and couldn't even fight in the States. I guess that's been cleared up since the next fight's in Chicago, but he is a unreliable fighter and very unprofessional. Now, as amazing as he is and how he went the first four fights in the UFC, having only absorbed one significant strike across four UFC fights, one of the best in the world and a pound for pound great. I get what Dean is saying. He is unreliable champion, and being champion is more than just, you know, being the best and having the belt. It comes with responsibilities. Entire pay-per-views are built on you. Millions of dollars are invested in these shows. And if Khamzat Chimaev has proven time and time again he can't be relied upon, Dean's got a point.
All right, what's next for Bobby Knuckles following a split decision loss to DeRitter during UFC Fight Night on ABC 9?
Yeah, Robert Whittaker is one of the best middleweights of all time. He was the best of his era, if not for Israel Adesanya, that had his number. And he used to be the ultimate gatekeeper. Like, we didn't know Dricus du Plessis, the now current champ. Dricus made his name by beating Robert Whittaker. Like I mentioned, Israel Adesanya became champion by beating Robert Whittaker. He has been the cream of the crop. I think we're still going to – I'm not ready to write the eulogy for Robert Whittaker quite yet, because we don't really know how good Rainier DeRitter is. Rainier DeRitter's only lost to one guy his entire career, lost to him twice over an Asian promotion called ONE Championship, and he's won every single fight since. So if Rainier DeRitter keeps winning, becomes champion, and Robert Whittaker lost to him by split decision, you know, we're not ready to write that eulogy yet, but he has been in a ton of wars. He is now in his mid-30s. It may be time for him to start thinking about taking some more gatekeeper fights instead of big fights.
All right. Once again, we are speaking to RJ Clifford, host of Autumn Windbag, Sirius XM, and MMA Insider. So UFC 320 recently got announced for Las Vegas. It's going to be a big card with Alex Pereira and Magomed Ankalaev going in for their rematch. On that same card, though, is Jiří Prochazka, who will be fighting on the main card against Khalil Roundtree. According to sources, apparently Jiří Prochazka not only is fighting on the main card at 320, but he has also been named the backup fighter for the Alex Pereira versus Magomed Ankalaev fight for the light heavyweight title. I mean, we've had situations, RJ, where backup fighters kind of get the spotlight because they're a big name who are filling in, hoping to get that chance at a title. How is this possible that Jiří is on the card, but he's also going to be the backup fighter? And then what's the situation possibly where if Jiří and Khalil Roundtree were to get done with their fight, is Jiří still expected to fill in if there's something to go wrong in the main event?
There would have to be a giant giant burlap sack of gold bullion handed to the Nevada Athletic Commission to be able to pull that off, to have him fight twice in one. I'm kidding, that doesn't happen, but no, that's not going to happen. But this is how the UFC used to do it. Now they have this customary, well, they'll pay a fighter, hey, you're the backup, weigh in, we'll kick you a couple bucks, even if you don't fight, just for showing up and being the backup. But it used to be that they would just make sure, like if it was a lightweight fight in the final, in the main event, they'd make sure that there was another really good lightweight fight with a believable number one contender in that fight to be able to fill in. So, again, recently, especially with champions that are, you know, can be kind of unreliable, they'll book a backup fighter for it. But yeah, I mean, this is how the UFC used to do business. And, you know, I'd rather watch Jiří Prochazka and Khalil Roundtree throw down than watch Jiří weigh in and then sit around for a Saturday night.
RJ Clifford, MMA Insider. And when there's autumn winds, there are autumn wind bags. So, man, lots to unfold here. We're 6 days into camp, second day of pads. Not sure if you heard Pete Carroll's presser for today. Let me just play you something he happened to say.
Really, I don't. I have no comment to make. We made a decision on what we're doing, and we're moving with it, and we'll see how that all unveils itself in time.
So what do you make of this Christian Wilkins situation and being released and taking away the guaranteed money and everything that's come out since with the information we're getting about him jokingly around kissing teammates and everything like that. What do you make of the Wilkins situation?
I mean, we got 3 hours of unpacking for this story, right? I mean, everything from like, how was this kept under wraps for so long to what's going to happen with the complaint with the NFLPA and that $30 million in cap space and cash. Why was this buried for so long? Is this something that's even drastically different than what we've seen from Christian Wilkins? We've all seen the clips of him as a Dolphin, you know, oil checking opponents and being given wet willies to coaches, like always kind of being weird. Is it even beyond that? Is that even more so? Was this just a matter of last straw, or was it that big of a deal? How much of this was the injury, that Jones fracture? I mean, there's just so much. I have a million questions, and just the like subtlety of the reporting of this. Like, very few people have come out and just directly said, this is what happened, here's the reports, here's why he got fired. It's just all a lot of tongue-in-cheek, and it feels like we're just kind of waiting for somebody to come on the record to say exactly what happened. And it may be tomorrow, it may be years from now, but I'm dying to know the details. And then just as like with the Raiders in general, like, why can't we ever sign a big name defensive free agent and have it not go to hell? Like, when's the last time we picked up someone for big, big money on the Raiders organization and it wasn't just a mess?
RJ, between Chicken Wings MMA and Christian Wilkins, we're up against it, but got about a minute left. From what you've seen from afar, and you've, how excited are you? Is there, what are you concerned most about? Or how about Ashton Jeanty?
There's a lot of reason for excitement in the near and medium term. I think next year, I think we're looking at about a 500 team. Again, we were a 4-win team last season. Worst run game in football, worst quarterback room in football last year. Franchises can do complete 180s, but I think because we have the Raiders have the fourth most cap space, I think John Spytek and company are thinking more next season as opposed to this season going all in. But I think the floor has absolutely raised. I mean, I always say, what's the key to winning to have a winning franchise for the long term? It's ownership, head coach, and quarterback between Tom Brady, Pete Carroll, and Geno Smith. I think we're in a great position for several years of no longer being the bottom of the basement and really being contenders.
RJ, we appreciate it. What do you got coming up on the Autumn Windbags?
We'll be recording tomorrow night, coming out on Thursday. Members get to get it a little bit earlier. And we're going to ask and answer one question we want answered from every single one of the 17 regular season games coming up.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, RJ.
You got it.
All right, so there you have it. RJ Clifford, MMA Insider, and Autumn Windbags. Danny, we made it 1 hour through.
We did.